Roundabout Theatre Company is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and today we wrap up a week-long series of interviews with Roundabout artists discussing this special season. Previous interviews in the series are available online at wamc.org/roundtable. Next month, the American Airlines Theater will become home to a host of backstage antics and slamming doors in Michael Frayn's superb farce, Noises Off. Jeremy Herron directs a cast featuring Andrea Martin, Campbell Scott, Tracy Chameau, Daniel Davis, David Furr, Kate Jennings Grant, Rob McClure, Jeremy Shamos, and Megan Hilty. Megan Hilty played Glinda in Wicked on tour and on Broadway, and originated the role of Dora Lee Rhodes in the musical adaptation of 9 to 5. She has a great and growing concert career and portrayed Ivy Lynn, the upcoming diva that viewers loved to loathe on NBC's Broadway musical series, Smash. Welcome to the roundtable.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's very cool of you to take the time to speak with me.
Listen, I am so excited that you're even interested enough to hear what I have to say.
So Noises Off.
Yeah.
It's not a musical. Nope. Is that what everybody's asking you about?
Yeah, and it's so crazy. Like, I'm supposed to only do musicals. I'm so excited to not be singing for a second, though.
What are you looking forward to about doing this fantastic farce?
Well, it's one of my favorite plays. I've seen it several times, and of course, I read it through school and everything like that because it's one of those, like, perfect plays. So I'm excited to actually get to do it and on Broadway with all these fancy people. It's kind of crazy. I can't believe it's actually happening.
You, of course, have to play a character while you run around and slam doors. What are you hoping to bring to Brooke? What does she give you on the page that you're ready to sink your teeth into?
Oh my gosh, she's so amazing because, well, you could say that she thinks of herself as kind of an anchor, maybe, because no matter what line you give her, she's just going to do her show. You know, she's not... Some people would say that that's not very flexible, but I say... she's just doing her job.
How did the project come to you? And are you looking forward to being part of the Roundabout family?
Absolutely. I actually had a meeting with Jeremy Herron. I want to say it was like 2 years ago about this. And then when I didn't hear anything, I just kind of thought, oh, well, whoever is going to work with that guy is going to have a great time. Because I remember our meeting was so much fun. And then I kind of realized that I hadn't heard anything about the play in general, like, happening. And then about a year ago, I got a phone call saying, if you're free in a year, do you want to do this? And I was like, absolutely, I'll make sure that I'm free. And here we are.
You recently did Annie Get Your Gun. How was that?
It was insane. It was absolutely insane because it was supposed to just be a concert version for their gala evening. No, it was a regular encores production, but with half of the time. So it was absolute madness. But of course, we had a great time. And that score is so beautiful. I have some issues with the script, but that score is amazing.
What are the script issues?
Well, that the entire show, she's this strong woman who knows who she is, no apologies for it, and then all of a sudden at the end, with no explanation, she's like, okay, I'll give up everything that I am just so that I can get married.
Oh, just what? That little problem.
Yeah,
no, it's very dated that way.
It was very hard to swallow, and we tried to, I don't know, the way we dealt with it, we kind of made it easier to swallow, but still all of my friends came backstage afterwards going, what? What? Yeah, and I have the same issue.
Right, when you lift some of the songs out from the rest of the show, you're like, oh yeah, this is like a feminist Anthem, but then.
But not. Right. Like, the script completely undoes it. So, yeah.
You also perform often with orchestras, with symphonies. How did you get into that? How'd you find your way into it? And what does it fulfill for you?
You know what? I actually, my first solo show came out of, I want to say it came from Seth MacFarlane, because I was supposed to be his guest at Carnegie Hall and with the National Symphony Orchestra at the Kennedy Center. That was the first year he hosted the Oscars. And so he had to back out. And all of a sudden they said, okay, the show's yours now, so what do you want to do? So that's kind of how I fell into doing it, doing a solo show. And once we established that, then I started doing it around the country. I actually just did a Rosemary Clooney tribute in Cincinnati. Whew, very recently. Like, all of these things are on top of each other. Sure. I don't know what I was thinking, scheduling all this stuff. They're all just really exciting projects. So I've been building this concert with the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra and John Morris Russell. And Nick Clooney came and spoke at it. He spoke about his sister and told all of these great stories. And it was a really, really beautiful weekend, and I was a little overwhelmed, actually, at the involvement of the Clooney family, and I got to speak with her manager, Alan Sveridoff, and he gave me all kinds of amazing stories and stuff, and I was just very grateful for that whole experience.
Had you always been a fan of hers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, her voice is incredibly beautiful, and her phrasing is so amazing. And it's not just that, though. I feel like whenever you listen to her songs, you believe every word that she sings. And it's because she's had this incredible life. I don't know if you're familiar with her autobiography, Girl Singer. If you haven't read it, it is so amazing to read about her personal life and her professional life, like what was happening behind the scenes and stuff, because she went through a lot of stuff, so much so that, like, by doing that concert, I was like, this is just the tip of the iceberg for her material and for stories of her incredible life. So hopefully I'll get to do it again sometime soon.
In the moment where you're singing her songs on stage, though, do you think of all of that, or would that be too much to think of and continue to perform?
You know what, it definitely informs what I'm doing. And in that concert, I was reading excerpts from her autobiography. So it was kind of like she still kind of had a voice in it. And so it definitely, reading those things into the song, it completely informed how I did the song. But I also had to have my own interpretation of it for it to mean anything to me. So, and the concert wasn't about like trying to be like her, sing like her, or look like her, anything. It was more like, let's pay tribute to this amazing woman who did so much in her career and did so much for women singers.
Jumping back, you said that Seth MacFarlane had to pull out of that concert, and then they just gave it to you, which seems like they wouldn't always do that. So whoever they are must have had a lot of confidence in you.
I thank goodness. You know, it's so thrilling to sing with that many incredible musicians. It is, like, especially, like, coming from Broadway, where the pits are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and we're going more and more to tracked musicians, which is such a shame, because you can hear it and you can feel it, and subconsciously we don't connect to it as well as with those live instruments. Anyway, I digress.
That's okay.
But that makes it even more thrilling to be on stage and singing these songs with these full symphony orchestras. It's thrilling. I keep coming back to that word, but it really is.
When Seth MacFarlane had to cancel and you had to put the show together with a team, presumably, you work with somebody, how did you pick the songs?
I worked with Steve Reinecke, who heads the New York Pops here, and several other amazing orchestras, who is amazing and has turned into one of my dear friends because of all of that. And I put together a program of things that I personally wanted to hear these symphony orchestras play. And that, to me, were all like Frank Sinatra songs, Judy Garland, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, like good old standards. So we put together a program called Luck Be a Lady, and we had a bunch of tunes like that. And of course we put in things from Smash, and my theater background. Popular is not my song. I did not make that song famous, but I played that role for a long time, and so it's always weird not to include that.
So it's like Glinda and Wicked.
Yeah, I had to put that in there. And sometimes I have a Dolly Parton medley, but it is crazy to ask all of those musicians to learn that so quickly sometimes, so I rarely do I put it in there, but yeah.
Do you envision a time where, if you wanted to, you could do a concert and not do something from Smash, or is that like the thing that buoyed you and people are gonna kind of for it?
Yeah, let me just say, like, I did this Rosemary Clooney tribute concert and I said we have to put a Smash song in there. Like, it's okay not to put like Wicked or anything in there, but I have to, because, and it worked well. Like, I think no matter what, I'm so grateful for that show, but some of those people wouldn't come and see that show if it wasn't for Smash, so I have to give a nod to that. I do it very gratefully, too. I'm not like, oh, gosh, I have to sing this song, too. Because they're written by Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman. They're incredible songs. So I actually just kind of want to sing those songs everywhere I go anyway.
It seems like that's kind of true for anybody who gets a certain level of notoriety in Broadway, like Idina Menzel. Well, obviously she has Frozen, but yeah, she does something from Rent when she does a concert, or like Kristen Chenoweth does Popular or For Good. Yeah. Lea Salonga has to sing something from Miss Saigon, something from Aladdin. Yeah. So it's part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should be so grateful that we actually have songs that people want to come hear. Yeah.
When did you decide that you were going to pursue this crazy business called show?
Oh, when I was little, like, I told my parents that this is what I was doing, and they were like, okay, as long as you figure it out, we'll be here for it. You know, they were the perfect kind of parents for somebody going into the arts, because they weren't pushy at all. It was all motivated by me. My parents knew nothing about the business, but were very supportive, and they would be there for me, and they'd give me rides wherever I needed to go and stuff. But they never told me that it wasn't possible. You know, when I told them that I was going to be on Broadway, they never said, only a handful of people ever make it there. You know, they were always like, okay, make it happen.
Are they so proud?
They are. They're the best. They come everywhere. They were just in Cincinnati when I had this concert.
Do people confuse you, Megan Hilty, with your character from Smash?
All the time, absolutely. And
they just think you're the same as her.
Yeah, and it's funny, I did a short-lived television show after that, also on NBC.
And Sean Hayes.
Yeah, with Sean Hayes, and we had such a great time. But the first, like, week that I was on set, people kept coming up to me going, oh, I'm so glad to know that you're actually a nice person. And I kept going, like, why would you think that I wasn't a nice person? They're like, well, to be honest, it's because of your character. And it's like, you are an actor yourself. Like, you understand that we're all playing characters. And I get it, you know, I used to get it on the street all the time, like, assuming that I was mean. You know, now people are just nice whenever they kindly approach me. But people would say things and I'd have to remind them, like, oh, no, that's my character. That's, you know. The fact that I'm even talking to you, like, kind of, I hope, is an indication that I'm actually kind of a decent person. I thought it was great that people were watching, regardless of what they thought of me or my character. I was like, oh, great, people are watching the show.
Megan Hilty will play Brooke in the Roundabout Theater Company production of Noises Off. The show will run at the American Airlines Theater in New York City. Previews are scheduled to begin on December 17th. The Roundabout Theater Company is celebrating its 50th anniversary season. To learn more, visit roundabouttheater.org. All of our interviews featuring Roundabout artists are available online at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.